every believer is one of God's chosen vessels. Every believer is called to minister. Amen.
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching, the timeless Word of God, will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
We invite you to join with us as Pastor Brian Grant continues his expository series in the book of Acts. In last week's message, taken from Acts chapter 13, Pastor Grant took us through a dramatic happening in the early church when Paul and Barnabas, the first foreign missionaries, were sent out by the church in Antioch, commissioned to carry the gospel of the risen Christ to the lands of the Gentiles. In this week's message, Pastor Grant turns to 1 Peter chapter 2 to put before us the important truth that these two special agents are not the only agents of change that God has called to bear witness to Christ in this world. So please turn with us in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2 as Pastor Grant brings his message, God's Chosen Vessels. Here's Pastor Grant.
A stressed out woman was tailgating a car. The light turned yellow, and instead of speeding up to rush through the intersection, as some of us would do, the man hit the brake and stopped. Well, she was furious that he had made her miss the light, and not only did she miss the light, but her cell phone had fallen on the ground, and the bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit that she was eating also fell to the ground. So she started honking her horn at the man. She started cussing and carrying on. And then suddenly she heard a tap on the window. And when she looked up, it was a policeman. And the policeman said, "Open the door." And you know, he took her to the police station. Well, after she was at the police station for a couple of hours, they took her back to the same police officer. And he said to her, he said, "I'm sorry for the mistake." He said, "When I pulled up behind you, you were blowing your horn, you were acting crazy and cussing like a sailor." He says, "But I noticed the 'What Would Jesus Do?' sign on your bumper. And the 'Follow Me to Sunday School.' And the chrome-plated emblem of the fish, you know, that Christian emblem." He said, "I noticed all of that, so I just assumed the car must have been stolen." I want to talk to you this morning. She wasn't acting like a chosen vessel, was she? But I want to talk to you this morning about God's chosen vessels. Last time we considered Acts chapter 13, where God reached into the church at Antioch and called Barnabas and Saul to launch the gospel to new frontiers. And today we're going to take a look at the first leg of this incredible and miraculous adventure that these two men had now embarked on with God. These men were certainly two of God's chosen vessels. Amen. But as we study the scriptures, we realize that this special honor of being God's chosen vessels is not just for Barnabas and Saul, because in a real sense, every believer is one of God's chosen vessels. Every believer is called to minister. Amen. And this is why every believer ought to be praying, "Please, Lord, order my steps in your word." Every believer is a priest. And what do priests do? They minister. When I say every believer is a priest, I mean every believer. I'm talking to the women, I'm talking to the men, I'm talking to the old, and I'm speaking to the young, that you are a priest if you know Jesus. You know, it's great to have the Pope in town, and see his spectacular robes. I was enthralled at the one that he had on at the cathedral in New York City. Very spectacular. But I want you to know that God's priests need no robes to serve him. Amen? Now, if you need a robe to help remind you that you're a priest, go ahead and get your robe. Get your robe, get your all the vestments you need to. That's what you need to remind you. But the bottom line is this. You are a priest. You know, one of the three key ideas of the Protestant Reformation is the priesthood of all believers. Sometimes you don't even realize that was at the core, one of the core points of the Reformation was the priesthood of all believers. Martin Luther said the word priest should become as common as the word Christian because all Christians are priests. That was Martin Luther saying the word priest should be as common because, unlike what the church was teaching, Martin Luther realized that the Word of God teaches that every believer is a priest. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and verse number 9. Here's what it says. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be what? A holy priesthood. God is actually building us as believers in Jesus Christ to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then verse number 9 says, but you are a chosen people. I told you, we are among God's chosen vessels. Amen? You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Oh, I don't know if that's how you think of yourself, but my friend, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's good to know what He thinks of you. And He's saying, you are my special possession. Do you like that? You are my special possession. And He says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, God's special possession, that you might declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Every believer is a priest, but every priest can come directly to God. I don't need no intermediary to get to God. You know, it's interesting that the Pope recently gave permission to priests that they could forgive abortion for a period of 1 year. But I want you to know, my friend, that I can go to God by myself and you can go to God by yourself. And my Bible tells me, 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, if we confess our sins, somebody help me with the verse. If we confess our sins, what will He do? He is faithful and just to what? To forgive us our sins. Oh, I thank God I don't need a special priest to give me any forgiveness. I can go to God and He will give me His forgiveness. And I want you to know, my friend, it doesn't matter what you have done. Oh, your life might be messed up. But I want you to know, this morning you can come to the God of this earth and you can come to Him and say, oh God, I have sinned. And I want you to know you will get forgiveness not in a next week. You won't get a forgiveness that lasts a year. Hallelujah. You will get forgiveness that lasts a lifetime. Oh, that somebody this morning might reach out to Jesus. That you might reach out to Him and say, come into my heart. Cleanse me. Forgive me. Every priest can come to God directly. Aren't you glad, young person, that you can speak to God on your own? Oh, it's good sometimes to have somebody pray alongside you. That's fine. But oh, I'm so glad we can pray to God directly. But third, every priest must bear witness to Christ. Every priest must bear witness to Christ. Being a priest is not just to feel like somebody special. And oh, I want you to know I do feel like somebody special. I feel and I know that I'm a child of the King. But being a priest has to do, every priest must bear witness to Christ. We've got a mission. It's about spreading the praises of Christ to help the world to know the wonder, the beauty, the magnificence of our Savior. It doesn't matter what your occupation is. You might be a street cleaner. You're a priest. You're a banker. You're a teller in the bank. Just know that while you're there doing your tellering, at that very moment, you are a priest. Oh, it's not something that snaps in when you come to church, you know. This business of being a priest is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week occupation. He has made us priests. And if you don't like it, say you're a priestess if you're female and don't like the idea. And so I need to ask you, as just before we move on, since you are a priest, are you ministering like a priest? Are you behaving like a priest? Have you ever been critical when you see priests or pastors behaving badly? Have you ever criticized them and said, I thought he was a pastor and look at how he is living? I remember when I was a youngster and I saw some of the priests doing some of the stuff. I used to, oh my, oh my. But we need to ask ourselves, since you are the priest, are you living like a priest? Are you behaving like a priest? Are you declaring like a priest?
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now, back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
But second, every believer is called to minister, but selected believers are called to special operations. Now that I made that phrase up, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Paul and Barnabas had a special call. Acts chapter 13, verse number 2, it says here, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. Of all the members in the congregation at Antioch, God specially just called two. These two were specially selected for special operations. And I'm going to suggest to you that God is still calling some of us to special operations. Do you know that not everybody in the United States military can be a Navy SEAL? And so the Navy goes to a lot of trouble to try to figure out and to identify the right candidate who can stay under the water for periods and do all sorts of challenging things. So they realize not everybody can qualify. And I'm going to suggest to you that God knows not every Christian, although every Christian is a priest, not every Christian can be called to do special ops. But do you know He is still calling young men and young women and older men and older women to do special operations? I'm talking about that God has some special plans, some activities that He wants some of you here. I believe God has His eye on some of us here at GCA, that He wants somebody here to say, God, here's my life. Whatever you want to do with it, you can take it. God, if you want to send me to Tahiti or Burma or wherever, Afghanistan, wherever it is you want to send me to do your mission, count on me. You know, one of the great things is, if God taps you, He taps you because He knows He's going to fully equip you with all the resources and temperament to do special ops. These guys, Paul and Barnabas, they had offered themselves to the Lord to do whatever He wished. Sometimes we miss that as we read through this narrative. We miss these men had responded and they had no idea what lay ahead. They had no clue what God was going to do. All they had said was, God, the Spirit of God said, set them apart. And they said, yes, God. No idea. The future rested fully in God's hands. And I want to talk to some of, particularly the younger people today, and ask you, if God called you, are you willing to say yes? I know it would be a struggle. After all, as I shared a couple weeks ago, the studies tell us that this is the most self-absorbed generation in United States history. We are so acclimatized to be all about ourselves. The very concept of giving God my life that might disrupt my comfort, that's a no-no. You know, years ago, an advertisement appeared in a London newspaper, and it said, men wanted for hazardous journey. Listen good. Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return, doubtful. The ad was signed by Sir Ernest Shackleton, the Antarctic explorer. Guess what? Thousands of people applied. Did you hear me? The ad said, safe return, doubtful. It's going to be low wages. It's going to be everything bad. But thousands were lining up. Why? Because they wanted to sacrifice everything for the prospect of meaningful adventure. My friend, I want you to know, young person or older person, I want you to know that God is calling some of us to a special adventure, an adventure much grander than exploring the Antarctic. An adventure much more meaningful and having long-term consequences than exploring the Antarctic. And I'm asking you this morning, if the Spirit of God touches you, are you ready to say, here am I? But when God calls you to special ops, He gives confirmation of the call. He gives confirmation. When God calls someone to give their life in service to Him, He provides special confirmation so that you don't have to worry if you made a mistake. Notice, the leaders were made aware of the call. Did you notice that? The leaders were made aware of the call. He spoke to the leaders in Acts chapter 2 and chapter 13, verse 2. The Lord spoke to them, verse number 3. So after they had fasted and prayed, the leaders placed their hands on them and sent them off. There's a very important principle in these verses that I don't want you to miss. If God is calling you with this special call that I'm talking about, the leaders of the church should also recognize the call. Did you hear what I said? If God is calling you to special operations to give your life in service to Him, the leaders of the church ought to be able to recognize that God is calling you. He spoke to the leaders set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. The leaders were able to commission them because they knew that God had called them. Too often young men rush out claiming God has called them to full-time ministry or to start a church without receiving the confirmation of their elders. And I want you to know, young person, if you ever feel that God is calling you to start a church and the leaders of this church say they have not sensed the call, I suggest you sit down and keep praying. When we were in our late teens, a young man, a friend of ours, he said that God had called him to missions, but the elders told him they were not able to confirm the call and he should wait. But he was impatient. He rushed out and did what we might regard as a good thing. He went to do foreign missions because God had called him. But guess what? Things went badly with him financially. And in 2 or 3 years, he returned back to Jamaica so bitter that he walked away from God. Think of that. A man who claimed God had called him didn't go to church anymore. God is calling. But I'm so glad God also gives confirmation. Amen? Let's make sure we don't ever forget that. Do you know one of the reasons why God gives confirmation and why the role of the church is so important? Read Acts 13, verse number 3. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The church is critical, and the leaders of the church, if God has called you, should be the one sending you off. But look here also at Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. You see, sometimes we have a lot of folks wanting to be lone rangers. I can do this by myself. No, let's do it God's way. Let's not try and pull it off our way. Acts 14, verse 26. From Attaliah, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. So they're back at church in Antioch. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them, and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. They went out, sent by the leaders. They came back to give a report to the church who had sent them of the good things God had done.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant Steve Washington, and our entire church family. This is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.